quick question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Help me understand a little bit more clearly what you're asking.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
So I kind of just thought of this question on the spot. So it needs to be workshopped a little. I'm not going to lie.
That's the famous Matt.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Oh, snap! What's up with that? What's up with that?
Jim, Matt, and Molly continues live from the Everlight Solar Studio. I am Jim Rutledge alongside Matt Hamilton, Molly Brown. You can see us on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream. Primetime Laura Sean behind the glass. We are thrilled to be joined by Jason Wilde, and we have to ask him the pressing question of the day. First, welcome, Jason. And then the other question is, I saw a hitchhiker for the first time in forever. I passed on picking them up, but would you ever, in any circumstance, pick up a hitchhiker?
No! I mean, it could be, you know what? No. There's no one that I would pick up. No, it could be Bono from U2, and I would still be worried that it was a lookalike, and he was going to murder me. So, no, I'm out.
80% of the audience agrees with you. Also, on the What's Up With That, I was
only 80%?
Yeah.
What?
20% have either they've done it or they would do it. Either they have done it or they would do it. But also, just quick side note on the What's Up With That. Jason Sudeikis was on the New Heights podcast, and he referenced that was his favorite skit on SNL.
Huh.
That was his favorite to write and favorite to perform.
Well, you guys are welcome. What's Up With That?
What's Up With That?
And you can go by, not to give a free app, 47. They sell a What's Up With That shirt.
Oh, yeah. We might need that.
Yeah.
Jason, would you wear that?
Well, not now that we gave up free advertising, because Tausch is going to yell at me, even though it was Jim who did it.
Whatever, it's 47.
I always thought that would be a really good Halloween costume.
Yes.
But it's a little niche-y, where you could end up with a lot of people who don't get it and don't recognize the Jason Sudeikis character. So it's a little risky.
I mean, that's kind of what makes costumes fun. Is when they are a little bit.
You got to know what it is, right? Like one year I went as Steve Prefontaine and I had the Oregon track pants mm-hmm. and the Oregon zip up and a stick on mustache and a wig that made my hair look like, you know, like kind of a bushy bowl cut type haircut.
Right.
And obviously people who know me and know about Oregon and saw Without Limits or whatever it might be, got it. But like, you know, we were out and about and there was, you know, we were a little bit older, not as old as I am now, but all the young people had no idea who I was. Like there's just no recognition or knowledge of any kind. So I want to do something that's trendy and people are going to get it. And I don't think Jason Sudeikis, even if I do the dance, which, you know, I can dance. I don't think they would get it.
Okay. Yeah, if you're doing Sudeikis, you're gonna have to do Ted Lasso.
Yeah, season 4. I gotta watch season 3. I was saving it because I it's kind of like when I eat Lucky Charms and I eat all the regular cereal and then all I have left are the marshmallows.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've been holding off on watching season 3, but now that I know that there's gonna be a season 4, now I'm gonna watch it.
And he's gonna be coaching a women's soccer team, I believe. Which I'm excited about that. I'm gonna ask you a question related because whatever. There's not a lot going on with the Packers right now. What coach have you covered?
No, there is not.
What coach have you covered that is the most similar, the most shared traits with Ted Lasso?
Now, that's a good question. Because I, you know, first of all, my coaching acumen is limited to basically all of the Ted Lasso characteristics, and none of the X's and O's are actual knowledge of the game. So I think that's one of the many reasons I love that show. But I will say this about Mike McCarthy. And I think more than any other coach that I've covered, he fits that mold because I think he authentically, whereas lots of coaches say the right things about, it's about family and all this other stuff. I mean, he did it. Like, he put his money where his mouth was and put his coaching where his mouth was. Like, if, you know, he made sure, for example, that they never worked on Christmas. Now, that might have meant, you know, if they had a game, obviously, there was no control over that. But, like, if normally, like under previous coaches, Holmgren, Rhodes, Sherman, like if Christmas was on a Wednesday, we were still having regular practice, and I was still going and covering it on Christmas. Now, it was in an era where I didn't have kids, and some of that wasn't even before, was even before I met Paula. So it's not as if, you know, I was necessarily missing out on Christmas, but like McCarthy came along and was like, look, we're going to get our work done, but we're not going to miss Christmas. So we're going to adjust the schedule accordingly. We might stay here longer, you know, on Christmas Eve before you go home, or we might come in earlier on the 26th, but the building is going to be empty on Christmas. And that I always thought, and I can always give you the example for me, that he, you know, offered me a seat on the team plane back from the playoff game in Arizona, where Rodgers was face masked and fumbled for the game winning touchdown for the Cardinals in overtime. If Paula went into labor while we were in Arizona, he said, you're just flying back with us. And I just, that tells you that the kind of person he is. I mean, he's also the first person that sent flowers and called when Paula was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2020, and he wasn't even the Packers coach anymore. So I would say that he is that way as much as you can be in the NFL. But I also always thought that his football acumen was undersold. And I think there were a lot of people that, you know, that, I mean, I'm still fascinated by the fact that so many people think that Sean Payton is a better coach than him, when their histories are essentially the same. They both have one Super Bowl. And I think it's because Big Mike is a little heavier set.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I think that's why people view him that way. He's not as smart as Sean Payton, even though Sean Payton has accomplished just as much, if not less.
Jason, we were actually talking before the show, just in our show prep, like the different
coaches. Wait, you do show prep?
Just a little bit. Have you ever heard of that before? Do you guys do that?
No. That was not a shot at you guys. I was joking because I don't know what that is.
Yes, I have produced your show plenty of times. I know that you just pop on a minute before the show begins. Anyways, but we were talking. What?
When was the last time we produced the show?
Oh, like two years ago, okay. Maybe?
I was just curious.
All right, I just want to make it clear.
Lots of change.
But you're that good. You are that good of a host that you are able to jump on.
No, that's
I'm not kidding.
Stop backtracking. You're going to trip and fall. No, what it is I do a show with a guy that I just have to be ready for everything. And okay. he doesn't operate that way. He sends ideas, and then something comes into his brain, and that's where we go. And it's one of the coolest things because he's so good at it. But every time I suggest topics, he's happy that I suggest them, but he's usually not interested in them. So there's no real prep to be done. It's stream of consciousness that is Mark Gerald Tauscher.
Rubbish.
Anyway, your point.
Well, it's going to be big shoes to fill when we fill in on your guys' show this Friday, 9 to noon, when there's a Jim, Matt, and Molly takeover.
I was thinking about maybe joining you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was thinking about maybe coming on for a little while.
We would love to have you on your own show. But my question is about Mike McCarthy, just because we were talking about kind of just the coaching carousel when we were off the air earlier this offseason. And what do you think is going to happen with Mike McCarthy? Where do you think he's going to go next?
You know, I'll be curious to see if he comes back next year and coaches. I think if you look at what Dallas did, I know they continue to be on the same Super Bowl drought that they've been on for, I guess I'd have to ask Hunter Vaughn just how long it's been, 30 years. But I think he did a really good job there. I mean, I think Dak Prescott played his best football while he was there. I think a lot of good things came from his tenure. But I also think that the NFL has trended toward, you know, think about what was LaFleur, 40 when he got the job, 39 here. I mean, I really think the young guys, that's the new trend. And while they have bucked that trend in Las Vegas by hiring Pete Carroll, I think more often than not, there are owners that are looking at this as a young man's game and they're going to hire younger guys. So he may not get another gig. I think he would be at peace with that if it played out that way. You know, he's 60 years old now. I think he would really love to be able to come back here. I certainly would love for him to be able to come back here and have him be like Barry Alvarez is for the Great Dane Huddle, and he can come on Wilde and Tausch once a week or every other week for us, because I think he would be really insightful and great for our fans. But if he wants to keep coaching, I hope he gets another opportunity. I really do. And we know that there's usually 6, 7, 8 openings every offseason. So if he wants to go through the hiring cycle again, there will be opportunities to be had.
Jason, we were about to get to this poll question, so I guess we'll go ahead and fire it out, let you test it out
for us
first.
Just happy to talk to you, Matt.
Thanks, Jason. This is thrilling for me as well.
Thank you.
Who is that? You guys play that all the time. What is that button?
What's her name?
Kathy Ireland?
It was Kathy Ireland. She joined the show a couple years ago. She's an ambassador for AmFam. She joined before the AmFam Championship. And she was very disingenuous. And at the end of every question, she would answer it first with,
thank you.
And then go on and answer more questions.
Disingenuous?
Or that's how she talks.
Is that offensive to be called that?
Thank you.
A little bit.
I don't think it's great to be called that, but I'm more concerned about the fact that when I finally managed to have my mom stop confiscating the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue when it would come in the mail, the first one I actually got was, I think, her rookie season, and she made a very indelible mark on me.
Yep.
And so to hear that she might be a little inauthentic, I don't want to say what that's like finding out about her. But
well, hey, Jason, I'm a similar age, so I had the same experience. It was interesting talking to her. But I would say...
pressure!
It was a unique experience. But... it was more like talking to like a TV anchor. It was just like there was no, everything was very much like a very formulaic. You've had people you interview where you're like, oh, you're going to give me nothing.
Oh, I hate that.
And that's all it was.
I hate
that.
Yeah. I want authenticity for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, Matt,
yes,
you were saying.
The authentic Matt Hamilton here.
You are.
Yeah. I try to be. But this is not a super authentic poll question. This one's kind of Jim's because I would never throw my boy under the bus like this. Who is more stubborn, Aaron Rodgers or Goody? Just in general.
Ooh, now that's interesting.
Do you want to take credit for it now,
Mike?
No, this is Jim's.
That's really interesting. Because
see, he'd have known if it was this interesting. He knew it wasn't my question.
I think he's saying it's interesting because he's buying time to figure out how he's going to answer this question.
I'm not. No, I'm Molly. I'm not. When I'm buying time. My problem is I just ramble once I have my idea. Here's why it's interesting. Because Goody, in my opinion, is sneaky, stubborn. Acts like he's not stubborn, but he really is, right? Like Rodgers is like belligerently stubborn, right? Like
proud of it.
You know he's stubborn. Like he's not trying to pretend he's not. He's very clearly stubborn. Whereas Goody, if it's the right player, we'd be willing to make a trade like that. Or how do you feel about guys that might be on the backside of their prime? Well, it depends on the player. Okay. Well, let's be honest here. You are stubborn about 30-year-old players. Otherwise, I don't think there's any reason why Eric Wilson is not on your roster. Right? Like, okay, we can agree to disagree on Davante Adams. I still think he would have been exactly what this offense needs. Kind of a bridge number one, fun Uncle Davante to help the young guys and teach them the ropes and allow them to learn how to be number one receivers at the same time as being productive for the next couple years. And then he's 34 and you move on from him and you say, thank you. I hope we helped you get into Canton. Instead, Goody, as we have discussed multiple times, never called Frank Bauer's agent, never called Davante, was never interested, which I hate because this is what I was afraid of when we spent so much time talking about him. But Goody is stubborn about that. Eric Wilson is 30 years and like 174 days old. So he's not like ancient. He was a really good player for them for popcorn money. Like he cost them next to nothing. He started 12 games. He made enormous plays for them in multiple games. And they had no interest in bringing him back because he's 30. So he's very stubborn about that. We know all the different things that Rodgers believes that he's stubborn about. But this is
Rodgers
really
only wants to play with guys over 30.
Right. Exactly. Preferably over 40. I think Jordy's 40 now. I don't get it. I don't get why either one of them. Like, I could be stubborn about some things. Paula can definitely be stubborn, but and she doesn't listen to your show, so that won't get back to her. But the fact of the matter is that I think you have to be more flexible. And I've tried to kind of make the argument, a couple of stories on channel3000.com that I've written, obviously conversations I've had with you guys and some of our other shows. Like, I'm not saying you have to have 10 30-somethings on your team, but maybe two, right? Maybe mm-hmm. two would help you. And Chewy and I were talking this morning about this. Like, Bruce Wilkerson, old warhorse of an offensive lineman. Not a lot of upside for him at like, whatever he was for the Super Bowl year 96. Yeah. But they don't win the Super Bowl without him, period. Like, if they had had somebody else who was not good enough at left tackle, they would have lost one of those playoff games and not or lost the Super Bowl itself. And those guys matter. It helps your team. Don't have a full team of them, but have one or two or three. And especially if you're the one who stubbornly comes out and says that we need to ramp up our energy, our urgency, and this team needs to compete for championships, and you still keep doing the same thing the way you've done it, that to me does say that you're stubborn.
Should fans trust Brian Gutekunst?
I don't love the "in Goody we trust" concept all that much, right? Like, I understand that people like him, and he certainly has had. Let's not make it sound like he's a bad GM, because right. that's not anything close to what I'm saying. Unfortunately for Jim, he's well versed in bad GMs,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think he has been. Like, Evan Cohen says he's the best GM in football. I don't think so.
I'd go with Roseman just off the top of my head.
Right. I think he's had, and every GM has mixed results in some area or another. But when you have the 2020 and 2021 draft classes now, and all you have left to show for them are Jordan Love, who you took instead of T. Higgins, and it gave you your franchise quarterback, although I think we crowned him prematurely, and Isaiah McDuffie, and that's all you have to show for those two drafts, those are not very good football drafts. And so you can't be the best in the business when you have a draft like that. Now, the 22 and 23 drafts look pretty good, and the early returns for at least a couple of the 24 guys, also really good, right? Edgerrin Cooper, Evan Williams, Devon Bullard. But I think we all, and this is a product of the business that we're in, we are always in such a hurry to either say this guy sucks or this guy's the GOAT. And more often than not, it's way more complicated and way more nuanced than that.
Jason, awesome stuff. We really appreciate it.
All right, I'm going to go pick up a couple hitchhikers now. I'll talk to you guys later, maybe.
All right.
All right, take care. Be good.
That is Jason Wilde.